going to be a tough commute for millions of people this morning. And in fact, in many places like Vermont and Philadelphia and New Jersey, the public officials are saying stay home if you have flooding. What we appear to be seeing is the impact of what's called storm surge. You may hear a lot about it. Perhaps you don't entirely understand what it is or how it works. Here to explain, we've got Bernie Reno, who's senior meteorologist at AccuWeather. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning.
First of all, let's talk about storm surge itself. Is the flooding that we're seeing officially storm surge results?
Yeah, you know, what a storm surge is and I think there was a lot of confusion with this storm, is that, you know, when there's a storm system or a hurricane, out ahead of the storm system, you have strong winds out of the east, which piles the water up in the Atlantic and then pushes it toward the shore. What storm surge is, it's a combination of that wind and also the forward movement of the hurricane itself, which in a sense is like a hand in the water that pushes the water even further inland. So technically, there are really two places where we had storm surge with Irene. Was first in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and then as the storm went right toward the city, to the eastern side of that storm along the South Shore of Long Island, there was another push of water. And that water that gets pushed inland can cause lots of damage, and usually with hurricanes, the thing that really causes the most damage is really the storm surge.
And I think sometimes people are a bit too hasty to say that hurricanes like Hurricane Irene weren't that bad, don't you think? Because they're not taking into account this flooding that occurs after.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of the problem was with Irene. New York City was the area that everybody was looking at to see how much damage would be. The storm itself went right over New York City. But I can't tell you, I thought there were a lot of wild predictions going on about what was going to be happening in lower Manhattan with this storm surge that was coming up into the city. Well, the problem was is that the storm was never coming in the correct direction to really flood lower Manhattan. There was some problems in Battery Park, certainly, but the storm surge was going to be to the right of the storm, and that's why you saw that across the central Long Island coastline.
That's Bernie Reno, senior meteorologist at AccuWeather. Thanks, Bernie.
My pleasure.
You know, one of the reasons, as you heard, that people may have overreacted in New York is because of the grim anniversary that we're witnessing today. Hurricane Katrina made its second landfall as a Category 3 6 years ago today. And I think to a certain extent, politicians were not going to take any chances.
We are today issuing a mandatory, I repeat the word mandatory, evacuation order.
Get the hell off the beach in Asbury Park and get out. You're done.
I cannot stress this highly enough. If you are in the projected path of this hurricane, you have to take precautions now. Don't wait. Don't delay.
All right. Anna Sale joins us now from WNYC's It's a Free Country. Anna, first of all, it seems clear that the politicians, political leaders were less concerned about what may actually happen as to possibilities of what could happen, and we're just not prepared to take any chances.
They were very clear that it was a real opportunity for leadership at all levels of government to be very firm, to both be very clear about the threats, and then to come forward and reassure folks after the storm had passed in places like New York City. And it's interesting to think about the politics of this since the 2010 midterm elections, we've been debating the role of government and what size is appropriate. And there's nothing like a natural disaster to focus attention on the role of government in ensuring public safety and public infrastructure, things that we take for granted. But I think what you'll see is it's really at the local level where the politicians will get the boost from this, as opposed to all the way up to President Obama.
Which is a switch from Hurricane Katrina, when the responsibility and the blame landed firmly at the steps of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So you're saying that, I mean, you're not saying President Obama comes out of this looking bad.
He's not coming out looking bad, but I think what Craig Fugate, the FEMA director, said yesterday at the White House is really appropriate, because when you look at a storm, you look for the place that was hit the hardest, he said, to tell the story of the storm. This storm, Irene, had so many different stories, so it's hard to say which high-level politician should get credit or blame.
And this is Craig Fugate here.
You know, when you look at these disasters, a lot of times you try to find a place of damage that tells everybody the story about what's happened. But in this hurricane, that's hard to do.
Well, You know, in places like Vermont and Philadelphia, where the response and the preparation seems appropriate, people may not be worried about the expense. But I'm wondering if Andrew Cuomo in New York or this guy here are going to have to answer some questions.
The good news is the worst is over, and we will soon move to restore and return mode. The dangers of flooding, additional flooding, have been eliminated, and the existing flooding should start to go down.
That's, of course, the mayor of New York City, Mike Bloomberg. Do you think that some people in New York are going to wonder why they evacuated all weekend long?
Well, you know, I was out yesterday talking to New Yorkers, and by and large, there was just praise for Mayor Bloomberg. The feeling was, you know what, we prepared, maybe we didn't need to evacuate, but I'm glad we did, because now we can just come back and feel a sense of relief and be grateful that our house and home are safe. You know, this comes after the terrible blizzard, you'll remember, after Christmas in New York City, where Michael Bloomberg just got blasted for the city's response to that. So
it's
in this
apocalypse
case, the city was out front. Mayor Bloomberg, you know, starting Friday, was emphasizing the threat, was being very clear that we need to get people out. And then he got to have a bit of a victory lap yesterday, taking credit both for the city's response and also for the good luck that the storm didn't hit New York City as badly as feared.
Well, we saw a number of people all over the airways. Bloomberg was one of them. As I mentioned, the governor of New York, Cuomo, was also on all the time. We saw the Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter all over the place, and Governor Chris Christie. Who do you see kind of stepping forward as someone who kind of stands as an example of great leadership?
Well, I think the real star of the storm here is Governor Chris Christie. He was all over the place, not only in local media, but he even made the rounds on the Sunday talk shows. So, you know, he of course, has been mentioned as a possible 2012 candidate, and he keeps shooting those down. But he had the soundbite of the storm when he talked about getting off the beach, you've maximized your tan. And then he also kind of came off as a statesman by being very clear that he had no complaints about the Obama administration, the FEMA's response. So I think Chris Christie is definitely going to get a boost from this.
Any losers? Did anyone screw it up?
Well, I think the losers really are probably the 2012 other Republicans in the 2012 field, because they just got kicked out of the news cycle. Rick Perry, this is his moment of momentum. Nobody was talking about Rick Perry this weekend.
Rick who? No, I'm kidding. The other presidential candidates who lost the headlines. That's Anna Sale with WNYC's It's a Free Country. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
If you have a response, tell us how you think your political leaders in your local area did. 8778-MY-TAKE. You can post a comment to thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.